Thank you for joining us today for another podcast from Flushing Community Church. We are real people seeking to understand the truth revealed in God's Word. You can join us every Sunday at our place of gathering in Flushing, Michigan. Find out more by visiting flushingcommunity.org.
I've been thinking about something recently, and I'm not even sure why. Probably lots of reasons why, but none worth sharing with you. But this word value has come to my mind. I think over the time of having even arrived as your pastor and looking for a home and considering what to do with a home back in Grand Rapids, all these things, I've been thinking about value. I've even kind of transitioned into thinking about the value I have of my own time, how I invest my time, how I use my time. Both personally, you know, time with my family, that's precious and has been good to be together for 7 straight weeks. It's the value of my professional time and how I invest the time and energy that you have offered me as pastor of this church. How I've even asked myself, am I worth professionally what you offer me as your pastor? I've even thought about as a church, what do we value as a church? What are the things we hold close, and what are the things we think are important? What are the things as a church that we value and want to uphold? Webster defines value this way, as a fair return or exchange for something. That makes sense. We went shopping yesterday and we found a couple of things. And we had to decide if that was a fair exchange. I had my power tools up here last week. You remember that? There's a store at Birch Run that has discount power tools that I could take that same 18-volt battery pack and now weed whack my yard and blow off the grass. I thought that was a good value. But that's the first definition that Webster has, a fair return or exchange for something. So we have to make that decision. Our monetary worth of something. What is something worth? That changes all the time. And as a matter of fact, what we thought our homes were worth 5 years ago, we found that that's not necessarily true, right? What is worth on a monetary value? Who determines what a monetary value will be? I would love to know who determines that. And I'd love a phone call or, you know, email address or something so I can understand how people assign monetary worth to something. This one struck me as well as I continued to look at what value meant. Something intrinsically desirable. Intrinsically desirable. It means it possesses something within it that draws you to it. Now, I'll be honest with you. We all have different things that we would value. The things that Pastor Steve values is different than the things that I value in how we look at things and how we perceive things. The same is true for you. The things that you would put a higher value in is different than the things that I might put higher value in. I've had a lot of opportunity lately to consider this concept of value as I've packed and unpacked boxes. Anybody that goes through that process, you know, you're face to face with your junk all over again, right? I mean, there wasn't one part. Tammy and I were back in Grand Rapids this week, and we went back to the house. And it was empty. And it was weird. When we packed it up and we left, I really didn't have a chance to really look back much. We walked into a cold house that was empty. Every nook and cranny had been emptied out because we had to come face to face with our junk, with our boxes, with what we have been storing up in our home. So going through that process of packing and then unpacking boxes recently, I come face to face with some things that I had to ask myself, do I value these things anymore? We both, Tammy and I, both have a box or two or more of high school memories. High school memories. Best 8 years of my life, high school. It was great. I got through in 4. But I found it interesting as we were going through that. Even Tammy found it interesting because we went through the process of getting stuff out of cardboard boxes into those little snazzy little totes that have lids on them. And she went through my high school memory box. she found it interesting that I had kept a couple of things from a couple of other girlfriends. Things I honestly have no recollection of at all, because I only have had one girlfriend in my mind. I can't remember anything. I'm just kidding. Okay. But I looked through that box before I put the lid on. I kept a sock from prom night. Why? I don't know. Somebody had the idea to print up sock. And literally, it was silk screened with the theme of prom and everything. Apparently, it was the after prom, and we weren't supposed to wear shoes in there. So they made socks for everybody to wear, and I kept my sock. Weird. I kept programs of all the basketball games and football games I participated in. Kept newspaper articles. I've got folders from classes that I took. Like I'm going to go back and relive that, right? Trophies, a few of them. I just found it intriguing. You know, most of us keep our letter jacket if we were able to earn one and some of that kind of stuff. But there's a whole box full of stuff that I'm thinking, do I still value that like I did 20 years ago? When we're face to face with some of these things, it just causes me to wonder, what is value? Am I living my life in a way that I value the things that I should? A couple of things on the platform right here. This isn't probably much of anything to you. It's a rocking chair and an old guitar that's bent up and doesn't even play all that well. But to me, these things carry a different level of value. See, my spiritual giant grandmother bought this rocking chair. And even though she didn't have it all that long, like this doesn't go back generations and generations, and my grandpa didn't put the wood, you know, and build it or anything like that. She bought it, and when I'd go to her house, I remember the rocking chair. And when she passed away, I was fortunate enough, I think, to be the recipient of it. We've rocked our children in this chair. It's not incredibly comfortable. And I don't even really have a good spot for it in our house. But I don't want to get rid of it. You know what I mean? It has value that nobody can really put a number on. Nobody can give it a dollar amount. It just has value. And I hope that one day Sutton or Corbin would want this rocking chair, and I can tell them about their great-grandmother who paved the way spiritually for them to know the Lord. Sitting next to the rocking chair is my grandfather's old guitar. I know he didn't do this, but I grew up thinking he whittled this out of wood he found in this forest of Kentucky where he was raised. And I don't even have a strong memory of Grandpa playing this guitar, to be honest with you. But I'm glad it's semi in tune. Close enough. I remember as a kid thinking it was pretty cool that I could go over to Grandpa's house and play his guitar, and I didn't know what I was doing. I just liked making noise, I guess. And the only alternative was my aunt's Barbie dolls. So this was something I played with a lot. I've got a picture of my grandpa, and I'm just probably not even two yet, sitting near him on the couch, and he's holding the guitar. I wouldn't play this on a Sunday morning, but it has value. And I hope that someday I'll pass it along to my child. Talk about a grandpa who lived 70 of his 72 years running from God. And it wasn't until the very end of his days when lung cancer had finally taken over his body to where he looked at his wife and apologized for not being a godly man in their home and embracing God's grace. It's my strong desire that I see my grandpa again in heaven and that I can play a little guitar with him there. Now that I've learned a few things about the instrument, not much, but in heaven it won't matter. These things have value. You have things just like this in your home. Some of them are on shelves, some of them are put away, some of those things are running through your mind right now. You possess things that have intrinsic value, things you just want to have your hands on. Some of us are drawn to different things, but it's all because of value. I'm curious. I've got a whiteboard up here today. I'm just curious. A little audience participation time. What are some of the things that you value? Simple words are preferred. Remember, I don't spell incredibly well. Do you remember that? Okay, I'm just kidding. But what are some of the things, as you are reliving some of my stuff up here, and you say, I value this. Just shout it out. I'll try to listen well. A quilt. Awesome. Family. Very good. A car, did you say? Cards. Like you have a collection. What? Pictures? Is that what I missed back here? Was pictures earlier? Oh, jacket. And pictures. Tammy and I have often said, when the fire alarm goes, she gets the pictures, I get the kids. Anything else? A watch? Like from an old watch, right? I got a Mickey Mouse watch in my little high school memory box. Anything else? Got a special necklace from Grandma. How about let's go down the line of this family idea. Concepts instead of actual possessions. Are there some concepts in your mind that come to mind that it's not something you can tangibly touch or feel? Wow, that's a lot. Okay, I heard up north. Life. Memories. Can't be in Michigan without writing up north. Life. I heard something else too. Security. Good. That's good stuff. Salvation. A teenager is leading us. Thanks, GJ. This is good stuff. This is stuff worth valuing. Some of these things, I have to be honest with you, will go away. Some things we put great value in and we lose them, right? Or they get broken. And that causes us grief and struggle. We get upset about that. Other things we can treasure deep into the foundation of our spirit. I'm curious. I'm curious about this idea if we could just look forward for a moment. We've talked about some of these things that have value because of their history. Someone made a special quilt, or it was made from special fabric, or we have cards. We have things that we've held on to. I wish we could have the ability to, in thinking about those things, to look forward from this day forward and ask, what do we have now that would be worth something later? Or better said, maybe this way, what are you investing in now that others will see as valuable later? I wish I knew. I didn't know as a 2-year-old that this guitar would have any value to me. I'm not sure that my grandfather knew that that guitar would have any value after his passing. I wish I had the ability to look now at what I was doing and the things I was investing in and see what would have value 20 years from now, 40 years from now, even further. Jesus has a lot to say about value. And there's one very brief section of Scripture found in Matthew chapter 6 that I could not get away from this week as I consider this idea. He's sharing his very first sermon. He is just now beginning to talk about the kingdom of God. And he shares these words, and I'm going to read them from the New Living Translation. Don't store up treasures here on earth, he says, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart, or there your treasure, or there your desires, rather, of your heart will be also. Skipping down to verse 24, no one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Now Jesus wants to share with His followers, this very, very early group of followers, things of this world worth valuing. And He says two things. One, do not store up treasures for here and now. Do not store up things that are temporary. Everything that you own in this world is temporary. Even these two things. I could pass them down and they could go down from generation to generation. You might even possess things that are generations old. But at the end of time, they will end. And you've probably worked very hard to preserve them because decay is settling in, because things have a tendency to go away, right? We try our best to hang on to them. Well, that's what Jesus is saying we should avoid in some ways. You should not store up for yourself storehouses and treasures that are temporary. Secondly, He says what you should do is store up treasures in heaven. Those are eternal. We've talked recent days about looking at God's kingdom as being the eternal kingdom and living here on this earth as being temporary. We need to be people of God, seeing God's kingdom as the eternal kingdom. We need to see that God's plan is deeper and better than anything we could ever possess. Anything we could ever obtain in the here and now, because it's temporary. Teenagers, your good looks, temporary. Right, adults? The clothes you're wearing, the styles, you'll look back 10 years from now on this day and say, what were we thinking? It happens. Teenagers, it will happen. The hairstyles we spend money on, not that I'm opposed to that, but I'm just saying, the glasses, all the things we invest money into, it's temporary. It's temporary. The cars we drive, the one that you want desperately right now, you won't want a year from now. And if you go out and buy it, you'll wish you wouldn't have. It's temporary. The computer you want, guess what? They're already making a better one. For less money. Right? All these things we pursue are temporary. And yet we continue to pursue them. Do not store up things on the here and now. Store up treasures in heaven. Which means the million-dollar question for us today is this. What are treasures in heaven? And how can I start storing them? Well, Jesus said in the Scripture that to discover where these treasures are, you need to look no further than your own heart. When Jesus was sharing these words, He was actually speaking to a Jewish congregation, to a Jewish group of people who had gathered. And He was actually speaking a language they understood all too well. You won't find it in the Scriptures this way, but the Jewish tradition was very strong about a king, not a king of Israel, not a king of Judah, but a king of a neighboring nation who had converted to Judaism. His name was King Monobaz. Seriously. Monobaz. King Monobaz and his family had converted over to Judaism, and he was quite a generous individual. What Jesus was talking about this day as He was talking to them, to His followers about value, was the Monobaz principle. It goes something like this. King Monobaz had come from a long line of priestly individuals. They had stored up lots of things. Over the generations, their family had become very wealthy. There was nothing that they could not obtain. There was nothing out of their reach. Almost equivalent to Solomon, they had it all. And as Monobaz becomes the king and assumes his reign over his people, he does something quite different than his brothers and his father before him. He begins to share his wealth. It goes something like this, that his brothers even disputed all of the what he was going through. They came to him and in a delegation to find him, and they says, "Your father saved money and added to the treasures of his fathers, and you're just squandering them away." He replied, "My father stored up below, and I'm storing up above." Let me repeat that. "My father stored up below, and I am storing up above. My father's stored in a place which can be tampered with, but I have stored in a place which cannot be tampered with. My father's gathered treasures of money, and I have gathered treasures of souls." King Manobaz also donated gifts to the temple in Jerusalem. As a convert to Judaism, he wanted his newfound faith to be realized, and so he was giving all kinds of things, even to the temple. He gave, literally, his money away. Money he did not earn. And some would say he did not even deserve to give it away. But he had a deeper understanding of what this life was about. And where his forefathers had stored up things below, he made the decision to store up things above, where nothing can destroy. So the Manobaz principle is quite simply this. Use everything you have. Everything you have to invest in souls. You give instead of get. You share instead of pile up. And you be people who lead with generosity. You give instead of get. You share instead of hold on to. And you lead with generosity. Now, this is not a call for reckless behavior. This is not a call for recklessly just giving away everything you have and leaving your family with absolutely nothing. Because if we read the Scriptures in their entirety, you'll see that God also has a strong value, a high value for financial planning, financial wisdom, that you take care of what has been given to you. Over and over and over again, Jesus talks about money. And we don't like to talk about money in the church, but Jesus talked about it quite a bit. How we manage that money is very important. Coming out of a board meeting this past week, I know that it's a burden for your leaders. How we manage your money, the money that you give to this church. And it weighs heavy on us that we spend it in a way that gives God glory, that helps our church stay on mission. You have to make decisions every day on how you spend your money. What you value will determine that. Are you going to be givers of money? Or are you going to be spending your money in ways that only you get things from? Are you going to share some of your wealth with those who need? Or are you just going to keep storing up because you have a certain financial goal? Are you going to be people who lead with generosity? Or are you going to be people who hang on to everything you can find? It's a tough question. We live in a tough time. This might not be the best time to even think about value like this. But there is something that this world cannot take from us. They can take our 403B and our 401K and whatever number and letter you want to give it. They can take away any hope of retirement. Many of you have lost that. Many of you are hoping not to lose it. That stuff can go, quite frankly. But they cannot take from us the treasures that we build up in heaven. So what are they? I believe they're treasures of the souls of the people whom you will have an eternal impact on when you use what has been given to you. When you correctly see the value that things are, that possessions are, that money is. When we correctly value things, we'll see that people, our friends, that others rise above the things that we can put in our garages, the things that we put in our high school memory boxes, the things that we put away in storage bins, the things that will end up in a garage sale or on Craigslist or on eBay. People matter more than those things. And the relationships you are building with people matter more than those things. So how are you investing toward eternal things? Are you generous toward others? Are you offering your time and your talents to people that could use it? Are you looking for eternal dividends as you go through life? Are you thinking about eternity with the decisions you make? Do people know that you care? And if we were to ask your friends and coworkers and neighbors about you, would they say, that person loved me, that person cared for me, that person was generous to me? Or would they say, I never even knew them. I have no idea who they are. They looked good. They sounded right. But I didn't know them very well. Those are the questions that I think need to be considered when we contemplate this idea of value. And I'm not necessarily the one standing before you today and putting money into this equation of value, but Jesus did. Jesus' own words. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot be fervently seeking wealth for your own gain, for your own kingdom, and still be connected to the kingdom of eternity. And this is why I'm saying this. This is an analogy that makes sense to me. However tight you hold on to your wallet, however tight you grab a hold of the possessions of your world, is an indication of where your heart is. Now these are the words of Jesus, not Terry, okay? However tightly you hold on to the things of this world is an indication of where your treasure is, where your heart, rather, is. So where is our heart? Is it working toward building eternal things? Is it working toward building temporary things? How can I invest in eternal things? How can I perceive the need of others? How can I lead with generosity? It starts with this. Loosen your grip. It starts with loosening your grip on the things of this world. Loosening your grip on whatever you find highest value in. Friends, I cannot stand before you and say that I've got all of this figured out. But for whatever reason, as I've contemplated value and I've been thinking about this for some time, I've been thinking about my last breath simultaneously with it. This sounds really morbid and weird. But I've thought about, where will I be? How will it happen? What will they say about me? Who would care? Do you ever think about these things? It's when you think about those things that all of a sudden you start thinking about eternity a whole lot differently. And I've been thinking about eternity. What am I doing to impact eternity? How am I helping you impact eternity? What are the things that we value that will help us experience treasures in heaven? That's the question. All of this comes down to where we want to live our life. Investing in others. Or investing in ourselves. I think there's a barometer for us to consider today as we come to a close. I think the barometer is this. It's gratitude. We came to a table today, and I hope that that table brought you a sense of gratitude of all that Jesus Christ has done. When I get my paycheck every other week, I have a sense of gratitude over that. I hope you do too. when I come to church and I have the privilege of contributing, it's with a feeling of gratitude. Thank you, Jesus. And when I have a spirit of gratitude that funnels through my ability to understand value, all of a sudden I don't see it as my money, my checkbook, my things, my grandma's rocking chair, my grandpa's guitar. All of a sudden, when I'm filled with gratitude, it changes my viewpoint of what I can do to invest in the lives and the souls of others. And all of a sudden, there's nothing that I would hold back to build God's kingdom. Question is, what do you value? What are the things that you find greatest value in? And are those things building the kingdom? How can you build the kingdom? I want to ask you to do something this week. In your insert, in your sermon outline today on the back, there's always a digging deeper section. We'll just put that there, and I don't even know if many of us even recognize it. It's an opportunity for you to consider a couple of things. There are a couple of more stories within the Scriptures that gave me, man, some really challenging moments. The shrewd manager, wow, that's a story that makes me go, how can I use my wealth to build relationships? The offering of the widow who gave a fraction of a penny one day at church, and Jesus recognized it as the greatest gift being offered that day. That story challenges me. In that digging deeper section, I encourage you to think about the things you value. Maybe even pull out some of those boxes. Talk about it with your children. Make a phone call and say, hey, you know what? I was thinking about what I value the most, and it's this. And share a story with a friend, a family member, about something you value. And then contemplate the things that God has given you, the skills, the abilities, the talents, the resources, and how you can invest those things in eternity. How can you invest those things in the lives of others? And it starts being completely full of gratitude for the giver of those things, Jesus Christ. If you're not full of gratitude today, I invite you to take a step back and to look at all that you have and be filled with God's grace again. And let's be people who are investing in others. Let's be people who find great value in eternity and not in the things we can possess here. Father God, I am challenged with my Quicken account. I'm challenged with my checkbook. I'm challenged with my time. I'm challenged with my possessions. I'm challenged with the things that I've amassed over these years of my life. I'm challenged with the question of, does it really matter? I've asked myself if I stored up only things on this earth, or have I invested in ways that I have treasures waiting for me in heaven? Have I done anything that pleases you, God, with what you've given me? I pray, God, that as we consider the things we value most, that we'll come again to a place of complete gratitude for all that you have done for us. And the only response we can make when we're filled with the gratitude of what you've done for us is that we reflect that back onto others and that we share that love with others. Thank you, God, for all that you've done. Thank you, God, for all that you will do. And help us, God, serve you as we look toward investing in eternal things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for spending these minutes with us at Flushing Community Church. If you would like to speak with someone regarding today's message, please contact our office at 810-732-0282 or visit flushingcommunity.org.